Wow, praise the Lord. So good to see everybody. It's sunshine and sort of outside, but sunny in here. Praise the Lord. And it's good to be here. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to see all your faces. Hallelujah. God's got good things for you this morning. I tell you, every time we gather, God's got something good for us. Amen?
Amen.
And as I look around, I don't see any first-time visitors here with us today. So we're all family. And we just welcome you here and just excited about what God has for you. You know, you probably could do my announcements or the beginning of the service for me. I like to say things over and over again to you because the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. You know, it wasn't after one time that I realized that God loved me and had good things for me. I had to hear it over and over again and renew my mind. And so I always like to tell people at the beginning of service that God's got a good plan for your life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And you see, a lot of times people do their own thing and they miss out on what God has for them. And God's plans are the highest and best for your life. And so here at Family Church, of course, you know, we stick to the Bible. That's the way we get you onto God's plan. And I'll tell you what, if you just be a doer of this, if you just do what you hear, you know, the number one thing, pastors, if someone asked me, what's the number one thing, pastor, that you would wish that your church would do? It wouldn't be give more. It wouldn't be that the offerings would be bigger. It wouldn't be that the attendance would be bigger. It would be that the people that are here would be doers of the word. Because if I can get you to be a doer of the word, I know that your life will have success because the Bible promises it. And so it's so good to see everybody. If you could please fill out a blue card, even if you're not a visitor. I know that we do that every week, and you know, the faithful man will abound in blessings. He that's faithful in that which is least. You know, that's a small thing to do, but it helps me out. I like to lift up those cards in prayer, but also it's a good way to communicate with me. If there's anything that you need specific prayer for, if anything you want, how you want to communicate with me, of course, you can call anytime. That's not a problem, but we use those blue cards for those purposes. So if you could fill that out and drop that in the offering bucket, we would so appreciate that. And don't be afraid to put those prayer things on there. I'd love to jump in, jump my faith on that and get my wife's faith on that and help you get that thing taken care of. Praise the Lord. Well, a few announcements here. Of course, I'm excited because this Wednesday is July 10th, which means we are back with our Wednesday night services. Now, I'm going to bring this up because, you know, as your pastor, I told you last week, I'm going to be like that coach that's always trying to get you better. That coach that's always trying to bring you to the next level. I told the story of how, you know, I excelled in baseball growing up, but I had a coach who was always on me, no matter how good I did. And I finally realized, at first he was kind of annoying. Maybe I'm a little annoying, but once you start to realize why I'm doing it, you'll love me for it. And I ended up loving him for it because he was trying to get the most out of me. He was trying to get the best out of me. And, you know, as I look out in the crowd here, you know, when you look at a baseball team, unfortunately, sometimes you see some bench warmers. And bench warmers, they don't get in the game, and maybe they don't have as much potential as some other players that are playing. But as I look out into the crowd, I don't see one bench warmer for God here today. And I mean that. Everybody here has potential to thrive and excel in God's plan for their life. And so as my job as the coach or the pastor is to get you going on that. And so I'll remind you Wednesday night, we looked at last week that if our purpose for being in church is just to, well, this is what we do and this is our religious thing and this is, we just check it off the list, then we're here for the wrong reasons. The reasons we come are to grow. And we know this, that if we don't grow, that we're hurt, right? Remember we looked at that verse that the Bible says that when you stay a child in the Lord, even though you have all these promises available to you, if you stay a child, the Bible says you'll never walk into what God has for you. And we know that we grow by the Word of God and by the teaching of the Word and by the pastor being in your life to get you to that place. And so I encourage you, if you can be here Wednesday nights, listen, don't let TV stop you. Don't let laziness stop you. You will not regret it. You'll grow in the things of God and you'll find yourself walking into more of the blessings that the pastor's talking about, that the Word of God says, you'll walk into these things. And so Wednesday night, 6:30, we're going to be here preaching faith, preaching the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, when I made a decision, it would have been back in 2003, to just go all in with God. I have not looked back and ever said, man, you know what, I wish I wouldn't have gone to that midweek service, or I wish I wouldn't have gone to those guest meetings. And you know, it's interesting, we have kind of a big announcement coming up within the next few weeks, and that's just kind of to whet your appetite. It's a pretty big one. And I got direction and clarity from being in those 12 services of the Dufresne services. I was seeking God for direction on this, and it was my head was cloudy, and it just, my thoughts were getting in the way. I got under the anointing, and in those services for 12 meetings, got the clarity of God, and we're going to go forward. And I'll tell you, being under the teaching of the Word and being this anointing here, you can't get this at home. You can spend time with the Lord and you can worship God, but we need to be together. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It says, as the manner of some is. And so that's Hebrews 10:25. And what's happening around the world and around the body of Christ is people staying home and thinking they don't need a pastor and don't need teaching. I'll tell you, that's dangerous, because that's not what the Bible says to do. And so if you can be here Wednesday night, I'll tell you what, you won't regret it. I know it takes effort. I know it takes effort to get ready. I know it takes effort maybe after you get done working. Maybe you have to skip dinner until you go home. But I'll tell you what, anytime you do anything for God, you will not regret it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so Wednesday night, 6:30, we'll be here. If you're interested in growing, of course, I understand there are people that just can't be here on a Wednesday night. I understand that. But I'm talking about, well, you know, I think I'll kick back and have a bowl of pretzels and watch TV while the word's being preached. I think that's going to be hard to tell Jesus I did that in front of him someday. But anyways, I just want you to grow. That's the only reason. And so if you can be here Wednesday nights, 6:30, you'll be blessed. We're going to grow. We're going to hear the word. And we're going to walk into everything that God has for us. You know, I think someone one time asked me, Pastor, what's your biggest fear? And, you know, we shouldn't have any fears because we have the Lord. But if I were to answer that question, I'd say my biggest fear would be regret. That I would look back on my life, or I would stand before Jesus and he would say to me, you know, I had all this for you, but, you know, your hobby or your recreation or television, or, you know, you were just too lazy and you didn't get everything from me. If I didn't go to those Dufresne services, my head would still be cloudy. I would have no idea what to do. I got perfect clarity. I so thank God for it. And happens all the time in services. And so it'll be a blessing to you. We have church for you, not for me. Amen. And I go to church when I can be in my pastor services. So hallelujah. Also, on the heels of that, remember the Durants are going to be here August 11th, 12th, and 13th. I can't remember what week I announced the date change. It might have been last week or a week before, but if you weren't here, it is changed from the end of August to August 11th, 12th, and 13th, which is a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Sunday service will be at our normal time, and then Sunday evening will be at 6 o'clock, and then Monday and Tuesday evening will be at 7 p.m., and I'll tell you what, I'm just going to tell you this as your pastor. Make an effort to be at those services. You will not regret it. They will be life-changing services. God is going to speak directly to you, to your heart in that service concerning something in your life to help you get over to that other side, to help you break free, to get direction. I'm telling you what, if you can just make the effort to be here, you will not regret it. And they are just such a blessing. And so they'll be here August 11th, 12th, and 13th. And also, don't forget, we do have our services on live stream, familychurchsouthdayton.org. If you do have the internet, you can click on the live stream icon, fill out the login information, which I think it's just an email, and you can get some archived services. Or if you're out of town, you can catch our services live. Praise the Lord. And so there's exciting things up ahead. Amen. There are good things up ahead. And there's good things for your life. Praise God. You know, I don't know everybody's personal situation, but maybe you're in a test. And, you know, the disciples found themselves in a storm once, didn't they? They found themselves in the middle of the ocean, or middle of a body of water, not necessarily the ocean, found themselves in the middle of the body of water, and it was so stormy. And Jesus told them on shore they were going to go to the other side, but see, it got so bad they couldn't see that other side. They couldn't see the sunshine. They couldn't see the blue skies. They couldn't see the green grass past that storm. All they could see at that time was the storm and how bad it was. And maybe you're in a situation like that, but I'll tell you what, God's got another side for you. God's got the other side of victory, of prosperity, of health, of joy, of deliverance. And so don't give up, praise God. That's what the devil would want you to do. The devil caused a storm, they almost gave up, but you got God in your boat, hallelujah. And so good things are ahead for your life, and you need to be expecting that, you need to be believing that. God's a God of faith, hallelujah. Well, are you ready to be a blessing?
Yes.
Amen, I know you are. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A lot of, you know, it's kind of like we're... You know, when I go to my tree stand in the middle of the pitch black in the morning, I used to be terrified to do it. Now I'm not anymore. I got scriptures in me, and I know that there's nothing going to eat me on the way there. But when I go there, sometimes, you know, to get to your tree stand, sometimes you can't get there in a straight line. Sometimes, you know, you got to walk around this creek bed, or you got to go around this down tree, and it's kind of like what I feel like we're doing here. You know, the main part I want to get to is the service, but there's things God just keeps interrupting, little nuggets that's telling me, you got to go around this way and remind the people I got good things for them, and remind the people that good things, and that there's other side to that storm there, and praise the Lord, and also with the offering. And so we're weaving through right now trying to get to our tree stand so we can sit in there and get all that God has for us. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll tell you what, one thing that I'm passionate about is people being blessed in the body of Christ. And the thing I know as a pastor and by studying the Word is that if you're going to get blessed, and if you're going to have what God has said for you to have, then you have to do it His way. And that's why I tell you that the number one thing that I would ask if someone said, Pastor, you have one wish, what would it be? That everybody in my church would be a doer of the Word. Because once that happens, the results then will follow. And when it comes to finances for me are an easy thing to see, because it's like the Bible tells you to do a specific thing, and you know it takes the guesswork out of it for you. And when you do it, you automatically get what God has said you can do. And the thing is to getting people to have the faith to actually believe that the Bible's true and to do it. And of course, we know that the Bible talks about tithing. And actually, I'll tell you this, that there's on my heart, there's a financial series brewing in my spirit that I believe is going to come up after this Holy Ghost series. And I'll tell you what, it'll change your life financially. It'll help you to see, I'm struggling financially. I got to do it God's way. And one little thing that I wanted to point out today, we know about the tithe. And one thing you'll see in that financial series is that the tithe is not considered giving. The tithe, actually, the Bible says, belongs to God. That it's holy unto God. That 10% of your income, whether or not you want to do it or not, the Bible says, is the Lord's. And you say, well, you know, that just doesn't seem fair. Well, I'll tell you, I'm so glad God doesn't shut off the air supply.
Right.
Whose air are you breathing?
Yeah, right.
Whose water are you drinking? Whose food? Who gave you the ability to go get a job and work anyways? It was Him. And so people that fight this, the whole tithing thing, they have the wrong perspective. It's like, I look at it as, that's all, Lord, 10%? You've given me so much? But you'll see that it's holy unto God, and the tithe has its purpose. But then there's also something called giving. You see, if I borrowed a friend's muzzleloader one time to go deer hunting. I didn't have a muzzleloader at the time. And he needed it the next day, and he told me, you know, can you bring that back to me after? I'm not using it tonight, but go ahead and use it. I used it. Now, afterwards, I didn't have a problem. When I went and gave that rifle or that muzzleloader back to him, he didn't thank me up and down for, oh, what a wonderful gift. Thank you so much for the muzzleloader. Why? It was his.
Right, yeah.
I wasn't giving him anything. You can't give somebody something that's already theirs. You can. That's why if you notice, the Bible says, bring the tithe. It never says to give the tithe, because you can't give something that's not yours. But what God does say is He talks about giving. And one thing you'll see in the financial series, people are limited in their harvest because they get the tithe. They get to the point of the tithe. But then when it comes to giving above the tithe, and the giving above the tithe is how your harvest is determined, people miss out on the giving part. And they just give God, they skimp God. They're tithing, and thank God, and they're being blessed for the tithing, but there's so much more for you. And I want to show you this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says in verse 6, now do you believe the Bible today?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. Because it says this. Now notice, remember this, my heart is to help you. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly. What is sparingly? Is sparingly a lot or is it a little?
Little.
Little. So we could say it this way. You know, I don't use the word sparingly a lot, but I use the word little a lot. He which soweth little will reap what?
Little.
Sowing. And he which soweth bountifully, now I don't use that word a lot either, but is bountifully big or small?
Wow.
It's big. He which soweth or gives bountifully is the one that is also going to reap. This is not talking about the tithe. You see, if you make $1 million a year, which, man, let's strive for that, amen? I want that. Praise God. Think of the blessings we could be to people. If you make $1 million a year, guess what your tithe is in that year? $100,000. If you make a dime in a year, guess what your tithe is? One penny. Do you know that the person that made a dime and gave a penny, I shouldn't even say give, brought a penny, and the person that made $1 million and brought the 100,000, you know they're equally doing the Word of God the same exact way? And the Lord looks at that and doesn't look at the $1 million, $100,000 tither and say, ooh, I love them. No, He says, that's a doer of the Word, and that penny tither is a doer of the Word.
Amen.
Where it changes in the giving is in the sowing and the reaping. Glory to God. And I want you to see here verse 10. It says this, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. The Bible says that the one that gets the seed is the one that was the sower. Notice the Bible doesn't say God ministers seed to all the body of Christ. It says, no, I minister seed to the sower. And so we want to make sure, and I believe this financial series is going to help people because, you know, we get it in 5 minutes in an offering little segment here, and we don't get the full grasp of it. But you'll see it in example after example in the Bible. I'm excited for the series because I'll tell you what, it will absolutely change your life financially. Because some people have been tithing, and they wonder, where's my harvest? Your harvest does not depend on the tithe. There's other things that depend on the tithe. The harvest is completely dependent upon seed that you sow. Your tithe is not a seed. Your tithe is God's. And so people don't understand that, and then they wonder, I've been tithing, and pastor's talking. You don't have the, you've got to be a doer of the whole word. And so when we see this financial series, oh man, I'm excited. Because you're going to see example after example in here of people that when they gave big, oh my goodness, God blessed them big. And when people held back, it didn't come. God has to be faithful to his word. Amen?
Amen?
And so my heart isn't to try to get more money out of you. I don't care about that. I care about getting more money into you. Praise the Lord. So we'll look at that someday. We'll cut that off right now before we preach two sermons today. But I just care about you. Wanted to let you know about that. And so praise the Lord. Let's bring our tithes. Let's bring our offerings. Brothers, you can come forward to receive it. Father, we love you this morning. It's an honor to be able to bring a tithe, and it's an honor to be able to sow seed, Father. Lord, I know everybody's at different places. Father, I know everybody's at different places concerning the word that they've heard and where they're at in their faith. But Lord, you know my heart, so I don't have a problem sharing this with people. Lord, my heart is to see every single person here thriving financially, to see all their needs met and have enough left over where they can actually be a blessing, where they're not struggling to pay their bills, where they're not struggling to make it week after week, where they're not living paycheck to paycheck. That is not how you intended your people to live, Father. And Lord, you've put directions in the word for us. So Father, I thank you. And I ask you to encourage the people to be doers of the word and to be not hearers only deceiving themselves. And Father, we thank you so much. We claim every single need of this church is met. We claim every single need of our personal lives are met. We say all the money we need, it'll come. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As the offering bucket goes by, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. You know, I had one person one time tell me, and this will make sense to you. This will really help you. Thank you. Why do you got to talk about money? That's what I was told. And I said, well, imagine if I would have never talked to you about salvation. You'd have gone to hell. And the problem is a lot of people's finances are going to hell, and they're not doing, and it's like hell on earth financially because nobody will tell them how to do it different. But as soon as someone told you how to get saved, you realize, wow, Jesus died. I don't have to go to hell. Praise God. And you accept it. It's the same way with finances. It's the same way with what we're going to learn today about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you learn about it, then you can do it, and then you can reap the benefits of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you.
All I once held dear, build my life upon. All this worldly veers and wars to run. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now. Compared to this, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and know is yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of right. righteousness, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord. So with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, you're my all. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my... One more time. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, that is our heart's desire. To know you more and to know your ways more. Hallelujah. Father, you got something so good for us. You got something so good for us, Lord. We just thank you that as we know you more, as we increase in our knowledge of you, that grace and peace is multiplied, and that all the blessings become a reality in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Even if you're not, get excited. Praise the Lord. It'll do you good. Hallelujah. You know, I have to obey God when he tells me things. Of course, last Sunday, we went through a whole sermon because things got changed up. But as I started playing that song, I had a word of knowledge coming to me. Now, a word of knowledge is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a word of knowledge is when God supernaturally gives you something that you didn't know about, that's concerning a person's life, whether either past or present. That's what the word of knowledge is. We'll teach on that someday. Lots you need to teach on, but there's only, you know, so many days we have to do it. And as I was getting ready to play the guitar, a word of knowledge came unto me, and I need to say what God said to me. He said, there's somebody in here today, now you'll know who you are, that you've backed off in your giving, and you've backed off in your finances because things have gotten tough. Now, I don't know who this is for. God didn't tell me the name. He just said to me in my spirit, there's somebody in here that's backed off in their giving because times have gotten tough. That is the last thing you want to do when times get tough, is to back off in your giving. Because I'll tell you what, the devil wants to give you these thoughts that if I keep giving, I'm gonna lose out. And the Bible says there is that in Proverbs 11:24. It says there is somebody that scatters or who sows, yet they increase. He said there's somebody that withholds that which is right, and it leads to poverty. All the devil's trying to do by getting you to back off is to lead you into poverty. Now, whoever that's for, I don't know who it's for. I wasn't even thinking about it. I hit that first note, and boom, the word of knowledge came into me. And so be a doer of the word. That's for you. It's try to keep you from going in that ditch of poverty. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if that was you, if you want to come up to me after service and let me know, regardless if you do or not, that'd be great. But I want to encourage you, because I'll tell you, times get tough. I've been there. And you're tempted to just back off. I might not even bring my tithe. I might not even be a giver anymore. That's the devil's trick to get you in trouble. And so the Lord trying to keep you safe. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 19. Now, today we are going to continue. Praise God. We are going to continue our series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we tried to do last week. And we got interrupted by the Holy Ghost, thank God. And I believe it helped us, telling us the importance of the word and being in church and being under the teaching. And I believe we're going to see an increase in Wednesday night attendance because of it. I believe people here are hungry for the Word. Acts chapter 19. And let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we're just so grateful to be here, so grateful to hear your Word. Father, it's your Word that brings change. It's your Word that brings life. It's your Word that sets us free. So Lord, as I preach your Word this morning, may it not be my own words, but that of the Holy Ghost. May I speak forth what you want me to say, words from heaven, so that everybody here will hear something today, Father, that will be a blessing to them, something that will be pertinent to their lives. And we walk out of here changed, Father. We go from glory to glory. We never have a down service. We never stay the same. We're always going to a better place. And Father, we thank you that that takes place here today. In Jesus' name. Excuse me. Amen. It's always fun when you're praying and then you feel like you got to burp. I was like, no, not now. Praise. That's happened when I've gotten ready to do music before. It's always a lot of fun. Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts 19. Anyways, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, we started a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and receiving the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Those terms are interchangeable. And you notice on those blue cards, we've had people mark on there, they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not even sure how it's written. It says being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we've had people check that off. Well, we're teaching it now. And the reason we're teaching it is because it is so important and it is so vital for your life. And it is something so overlooked by the majority of the body of Christ. And I'll bet that you're like me from your background. When I learned about this, I felt cheated. I felt robbed. I said, why hasn't anybody told me about this? Why didn't I know about this? It's not like there's some obscure passage in the Bible and we're making a doctrine out of it. It is all throughout the Old Testament. It is all throughout the New Testament. Jesus had some remarkable things to say about it that we're going to bring out. And the reason that it's not taught is for a few reasons. Number one, the devil fights it like you wouldn't believe it. Because the benefit that comes into the individual believers' lives, which then ends up being a benefit to the body of Christ and to their family, is so astounding and so wonderful that the devil fights it. He makes it seem like it's weird. He makes people back off of it. He makes people not want to have anything to do with it. And a lot of churches and a lot of pastors, they don't necessarily on purpose withhold the teaching. They've never been taught themselves and they're ignorant towards it. And so we're not going to be ignorant here. But we saw in Acts chapter 19, and I will do a very quick review after we read this verse of what we talked about the first week in the series. And Acts 19 and verse 1, it says, and of course we will have our Bible up on the screen, Acts 19 verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. Are we disciples?
Yes.
Amen, we are. Verse 2, and he said to them, now notice what the Apostle Paul, see, you got to remember who's talking here. This, you know, whoever's saying something gives more weight to it. You know what I mean by that? For example, if my wife gives me a review on archery equipment, it's going to go in and out, blah, blah, blah. But if Lee Lakoski, he's a professional hunter, tells me something about some archery products, I'm going to listen up and say, he knows what he's talking about. He's a professional, he gets paid to do it. Sorry, honey, just in and out, in and out. Praise the Lord. But she would never do that. But that's my point. Whoever's speaking gives weight. Now, when the Apostle Paul says something concerning the Bible and Christianity, it has weight to it. He was the greatest apostle that ever walked the earth. He did more for Jesus than we can all do in our 10,000 lifetimes. Wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, went all over the world, started churches all over the world, got the Pauline Revelation, which is the book of Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all these books that God gave him the revelation. And the neat thing is the Bible says he wasn't taught it by a man. He received it directly from Jesus Christ himself. I'll tell you, that's a good teacher. And so when the Apostle Paul says something that has weight, and it's interesting to me, when he comes upon new believers that he's never met, the first thing he says to them, which shows me that he wants to get something into them, that he's got to make sure they got it, is, have you received the Holy Ghost? Go back to verse 2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The first thing he asks this group of believers is, have you received the Holy Ghost yet? What's he saying? Yeah, you're a believer. Yeah, you got Jesus, but have you received the Holy Ghost? Telling me that it's pretty important. telling me that the Apostle Paul is looking at them saying, okay, you got one thing. It's kind of like what we talked about with the tithing. Praise God, people that tithe, but if you're not a giver, if you're not a giver, you're going to hinder. And yeah, you might be a Christian, and you might be on your way to heaven, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to be hindered. And look at their response. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard as there even be a Holy Ghost. And that sounds like a lot of churches I know. We don't even know anything about the Holy Ghost. And I want to make sure that that's not the case here. We're going to take this slow. We're going to be methodical with this because it's a subject that people, some people have wrong thinking on. We're going to correct that. Some people have right thinking on. And some people have no thinking on it. And we're going to get it to you because it's that important. He said, we haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Well, I want us not to be that way. There's too many benefits in here pertaining it. Glory to God. And we saw in Acts chapter 1, this is the review from 2 weeks ago, just to remind us. Acts chapter 1, let's see. In verse 4, we saw Jesus, remember, again, when Jesus speaks, it has weight, doesn't it? When Jesus speaks, I'll tell you what, if you come to me and ask me a question about building something or about cars, don't take my advice. It's not going, it doesn't have any weight to it. Okay? Now, but if you go, you know, we have a, Chuck's a mechanic in here, we have builders in here, people that know how to do, they know what to do. I don't have a clue. And so, but when Jesus talks, it has weight. He says, being assembled together with them, notice the next word, commanded. What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to make a point to them that, look, this isn't optional. I'm not suggesting this for you. I'm commanding. He commanded them. Now, this is after Jesus had died and rose again. So he's talking to people who are Christians. But notice he's commanding Christians. There's something else for you. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. Now, verse 5, he tells about the promises. He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. When he says you, let's picture me being Jesus. I know that's a stretch, but let's picture me being Jesus and you being the you. When he says, and you, he's talking to believers. When he says you, he's saying you Christians who are already born again, who have already received Jesus, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's why the same thing Paul received, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when he comes upon new believers, he says, have you received the other thing? Have you received the part beyond salvation? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And so we see that there. And in verse 8, we see the importance of it. He said, but you shall receive power after. Everybody say after.
After.
In verse 8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's saying power will come to the believer's life once the Holy Ghost has come upon them. So my question would be that people that have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's an obvious thing is that their life is void of power. And I said this to people. I said, if your life seems dry, and this is the only example I can think of that comes to my mind, right? Going upstream in a stream of peanut butter in a canoe, and the only paddle you got are two straws. Can you imagine how hard that would be? How impossible. Sometimes life feels that way, doesn't it? And things are dry. You're very touchy. People that are touchy, I just say, okay, I know a little bit about them. People that don't walk in love, people that aren't full of faith, people that are grumpy, people that complain, people that are not full of faith. Life was never meant to be that way. I know that's what we're brainwashed to believe, that we suffer through here until we get up there. Jesus said, have heaven on earth. Now, I know very few people realize that, but we're going to be the very few that do. Amen? I refuse to let my church just sit on the sidelines and get defeated by the devil. If you get defeated by the devil, it ain't going to be my fault. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to get this thing done. Glory to God. And we're all going to receive what Jesus has for us. But he says, power will come on you after. And so there's a lot of Christians walking around that are wonderful people, that are born again, that love the Lord, that are wonderful human beings. But their life is void of power. And they're feeling the effects personally, and the body of Christ as a whole is feeling the effects because they ought to be doing something for Jesus, but they're void of power. Amen? So Jesus not only commanded, he said, I command you to do it, but there's going to be power that comes on you afterwards. Well, then Acts chapter 2, a lot of teaching here today, and we're going to be done with the review here. So Jesus commanded them, right? He said, don't leave. He said, wait for the promise. He said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Well, we pick up in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we find out what that baptism of the Holy Ghost was. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus said they'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues is not a scary word if you're taught right. Tongues is a very scary word if you've never been taught right. If you've been in a place where every service they're swinging from the chandeliers and doing cartwheels like monkeys around the place all the time, if you've been in a service like that, you might be turned off by the Holy Ghost. But when it's taught biblically, right down the center of the road, it all makes sense, and it's clear, and revelation comes, and understanding comes. So that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where they received the Holy Ghost, and what immediately followed was them speaking with tongues. They were filled and began. Do you see how they're connected? Peanut butter and jelly. You can't call it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with just peanut butter. You can't call, and we're going to see this next week, you can't call being filled with the Holy Ghost without the and speaking in tongues. And I'm going to show you scripture after scripture that the two are connected, that when you're filled, the evidence of you being filled will be and you begin to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. Change your life. And we saw in verse 39, and this will close up our review, that it's for everybody. It says, for the promise, what promise? The promise of the Holy Ghost, verse 39, Acts 2, 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to that are far off, even as many as should call on the Lord our God. Hallelujah. So the promise is for everybody. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to go forward today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. Now, I encourage people to bring your Bibles to church. If you don't have one, just tell me. I'll get you a nice one. And I mean that. Come tell me. I don't have a Bible, and I right now times are tough. I'll get you a Bible. You need a Bible. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. I want to show you this because we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you can't talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost without talking about speaking in tongues, which you'll see next week over and over. I think I have like 5 or 6 different references in the Bible where the evidence of somebody being filled is directly speaking in tongues. And don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's word for it. But anyways, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23, I want to show you that when it comes to this subject, the Bible tells us there will be different people at different places. Because there's some people in here before, you've never heard a lick about this. There's some people in here before, you've heard it and you don't know. You've heard it and you're not sure about it. And then there's some you've heard, you've received, you're living an active lifestyle of praying in tongues. What do you think I was doing all the way here in my car from Jamestown? Praying in tongues, filling myself up, getting ready to pour out onto the people. What? Filling myself with power. You don't want a pastor that's void of power. Someone that comes in here and fumbles through, where's my Reader's Digest? I'll just give them 3 points in a poem today. No, you want the Holy Ghost. Amen? Things like when I hit the first note of the guitar and the word of knowledge comes about somebody's finances to help them. That's because you're full of God. Amen? But it says this. Look at this. It says this. Notice the 3 different people that are in this verse. Because number one, I want you to see there are people in denominations. There are wonderful Christians that have wrote books against this subject. God help them. Because the Bible's so clear. But the Bible tells us there are going to be different people when it comes to this. It says, if therefore the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues. You know what that tells me? That it's possible for the whole church to speak in tongues. And we'll see that too as we get going in the service, or in the series. If the whole church comes together in one place and speaks with tongues, so let's use an example. Let's say we all gather here today and we all started praying in tongues out loud, which is unscriptural, and that's why we don't do that here. But he says, if that happens, and this is what he explains, and there comes in those that are unlearned, and then look what the next subject of people are, or unbelievers. Do you see that those are 2 different types of people? An unlearned person is not an unbeliever, and an unbeliever is an unbeliever and an unlearned person, right? So someone can be a believer, and I believe we have people like that here today. You're a believer, you're just unlearned when it comes to the subject of speaking in tongues. He said there's going to be people that come in that are unlearned or unbelievers. So you can be unlearned on this subject, and you could just be an unbeliever. So you say, but where's the third person? Well, the third person is the learned believer that's praying in tongues there, remember? So if the whole church prays in tongues, and there comes in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. So the three types of people that we have concerning this are those that are taught and walking in it, and then there's those that are believers, but they're just not learned in it. They've never... See, the Bible, isn't that good? That I might have to jump to reach this, but the Bible... I didn't have to jump. That's great. The Bible says that there are actually going to be people that don't know about a subject in the Bible. And what I find is that normally what people don't know about, they're down on. When I find people that don't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I find, oh, that tongues business. I say, what scriptures do you have? I don't know. I just don't want anything to do with it. They're unlearned. And it's okay. The Bible says there's people that will be unlearned. But let's not be them. Let's not be the unlearned. What does the Bible say? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of not knowing or a lack of learning will hurt you. Jesus said, you'll know the knowledge, you'll know the truth, and then you'll be set free. So there's three types, and let's jump into that type that knows, praise God. But today what I'm going to show you is that receiving the Holy Ghost, I'm going to show it to you biblically, that receiving the Holy Ghost and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior are clearly two separate experiences. Now, we've already looked at that Acts chapter 1 when Jesus talked to the disciples. They were already born again. The Bible says, how do you become born again? You believe Jesus died and rose again. They believe Jesus died and rose again. They saw him on the cross. They saw him go into the grave. And now they see him talking to them. They were believers, yet they received a separate experience, didn't they? And I'm going to show you today that the baptism of the Holy Ghost and salvation are two separate. You say, why do you need to show us that? You wouldn't believe the number of people who are good Christians, who love Jesus, who tell me, I received all the Holy Ghost that I'll ever need when I got saved. And they're ignorant. And the Bible is so clear to point out, you did not receive all the Holy Ghost. You know, when in a trial, they look for the smoking gun? You know, like that piece of evidence that, okay, lock me up. I didn't know you had the gun with the fingerprints on it, right? I didn't know you had a picture of me at the crime scene. I'm the smoking gun, the evidence. I am going to put out... We have a scripture, and I'm going to show you all of them. We have one I call the smoking gun concerning this topic, and we'll see that in a second. But I want to show you that receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, weird, it'll be awesome. We'll come up here, I'll lay hands on you. You'll open your mouth, you'll pray in tongues, and you'll start walking into all that God has for you. We'll give you that opportunity. But I want you to see this, because you might be sitting there and say, I know I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that Jesus is my Savior. And if you're like me and you're hearing this, you'd say, I want all that I can have of God. If there's something that I can have that I've not yet received, I want it. Don't you want it? Oh my gosh, the last thing I want to do is get to heaven and Lord say, you know, if you'd have done this, look at all the blessings. Well, why didn't I do this? Because you were never taught it. Because you never believed it. Because you never took that step of faith. So I'm going to show you clearly today two separate experiences. We'll start in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. A lot of teaching today. Praise God. I've told you that, excuse me, in my life there's two top experiences for me that trump getting married to my beautiful, gorgeous wife with that long, flowing hair. I always tell her, listen, if you cut that hair, I'm out of here. Now, she knows I'm kidding, because she did cut it once, and she just looked as pretty as ever, but that was like the first thing when I saw her, man. I said, wow, look at that long hair. Anyways, enough about me. Let's talk about the work. But anyways, two things, more than the birth of my children, which were absolutely phenomenal experiences, the greatest experience I've ever received in my life was getting born again on January 10th, 2002 in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. The second thing that was the greatest experience of my life was getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, because that now enables me to be a good husband. That now enables me to be a good dad, to be a powerhouse for God, to walk through this life not like I'm paddling upstream in that stream of peanut butter with a straw, but to be victorious, to flow through life. It's that important, people. And when you see how important it is, when people like Jesus are commanding you, when people like the Apostle Paul are urging you on, and we'll see in a few weeks, people like the Apostle Paul are actually bragging about how much he prays in tongues, you're going to see, my goodness, this is something that I need for my own self. If Jesus said we needed it, if the Apostle Paul needed it, if the disciples needed it, why do we think that we don't? But we do. So hallelujah. Matthew 3 and verse 11. Of course, please understand, if my wife got a haircut, I'd still stay with her. Because some people might take that literal and say, man, what a shallow jerk. No, I just love her long hair. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Matthew 3 and verse 11, I want you to see this. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, what happened? You had the remission of sins, right? It's not the same as being baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said there's an experience after that. Hallelujah. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, some of this is going back over it, but you need to hear it. This is where Jesus is reiterating what John the Baptist just said in Matthew 3:11, where John the Baptist said, listen, one that comes after me is mightier, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Again, who's he talking to here? It's important to know the audience. The audience is already born-again Christians that have already received Jesus. Jesus said to them, you're going to receive something beyond this. Hallelujah. Now go with me to John chapter 4. I'm going to save the smoking gun to last. I had it first, but you know what? If I was a trial lawyer, I'd wait till I could get the very last word in, and I'd blast them out with everything, and I'd walk away all arrogant. Case closed. Game over. We're going to do that today except for the arrogant part. I wouldn't even know what to be arrogant about. People would come up and say, Pastor, that was an awesome message. Well, I'm just good at reading, right? Y'all can read. You could do this. Praise God. John chapter 4. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, this is life-changing stuff. Don't let this be the only week you're here. Come back and hear it every week. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Now notice what it says. This is when Jesus met the woman at the well. Jesus answered her, John 4, verse 10. He said, if you knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Now, Jesus is talking to this woman because she was asking for water. And Jesus said, listen, if you knew who was sitting here with you, if you knew who was here, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking me for natural water. You'd be asking me for the water that will cause you to never thirst again. Eternal life is what he's talking about. And he says that over in verse 14. Notice this now. Are you ready? Yes. But whosoever, now you got to get this, drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I'll give him, now notice this, shall be in him. Now it's important to understand the description Jesus uses for eternal life. A well, everybody say a well. We all know what a water well is, right? It's a well in there, and you get water out of it, right? Pretty simple. He calls eternal life, he says it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So what's he comparing eternal life to? A what? A well. Do you see it there? He says everlasting life or eternal life, everlasting and eternal, you can interchange those words. He said those are comparisons to a well. Say, what's that big deal? Well, go with me to John chapter 7. Hallelujah. John chapter 7. We're showing you two separate experiences. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now remember, what is salvation likened to? A what? A well. Don't forget that. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, now ready, get ready for this, out of his belly shall flow, what's the next word? Rivers of living water. Let me ask you a question, stupid one, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Are wells and rivers the same thing? No. A well is different than a river, isn't it? Well, Jesus said, he that believes on me, As the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, I love it. In parentheses it says, but this, the rivers, see, the Bible is so awesome to point out. He's not talking about eternal life here. He already told us in John chapter 4 that eternal life is like a well. He said, but this he spake of the Spirit. Do you see that there? Which they that believe on him should receive the Holy Ghost, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for he was yet not given because Jesus had not been glorified. What's he saying? Two separate experiences. Salvation's like a well of everlasting water, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost is like a river. Do you think Jesus got confused? Or do you think he knew what he meant? I think he knew what he meant. Because he says, and the Bible points out, he was speaking of the Spirit. Because people hearing that would have said, oh, he's talking about everlasting life. And the Bible says, no, he's not. He's talking about the Spirit of God, that when you believe on him, you receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two separate experiences. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. We've already looked at this scripture, but we're going to see it again. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, hearing the word. Say, Pastor, why are we looking at this? Why do we need to see it? Because you need to know that if you're born again, you need more. You need more. There's more for you. Praise God. Don't let more go by the wayside. Acts 19 and verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, found certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost? Right? That's our golden text. Have you received the Holy Ghost? What's the next word? Since you believed. Does that sound like there's two different things? He said, did you receive something else? Why would Paul ask them, if they received the Holy Ghost since they believed, if you receive all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get the day you believed? That would be a stupid, redundant question, right? They would say, duh, of course we've received all the Holy Ghost. You get it at salvation. Paul's saying, listen, did you get the separate experience since you were born again? And then drop down to verse 6. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And there's that word and they spoke with tongues. Peanut butter and jelly, filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. I know it's just a lot of teaching today. Can I say something that sounds very dramatic? It's not. I'm not trying to be dramatic. This is life or death stuff. People say, Pastor, what do you mean? I know of people, and I could give some of my stories, that were praying in tongues. And you'll, when you see the benefits of it, this will make more sense to you. And they were about to do a business decision, or they were about to invest in something that naturally seemed good, or they're about to go on a trip, and the Holy Ghost spoke to them as they were praying in tongues, don't do that. Don't go that way. And they didn't go, and it saved them financially. It saved them physically, where someone went on the same thing and ended up being killed. I could tell you story. We could sit here all day. I could tell you story after story. I could tell you the dramatic ways that when I've been praying in tongues filled with the Holy Spirit, God has spoke to me to do things. God has told me don't do those things. Do you know that I didn't go to California this past June because all of a sudden in the weekend came. The Holy Spirit inside of me, as I was pacing my office, praying in tongues, don't go on that trip. Don't go on that trip. Don't go on that trip. Now, I don't know why I wasn't supposed to go on that trip, but I didn't go on that trip, and something was spared, praise God. But I've had other situations where I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and I got something from the Lord, and I obeyed that, and I seen the fruit of what would have happened. And then there's been times I've been praying in tongues, and the Lord told me not to do something, and I did it anyways, and I suffered. Thank God it didn't cost me my life. But this is life or death stuff. Imagine, because we sit here, we think, well, this ain't that big of a deal. What if the disciples that Jesus commanded to get filled with the Holy Ghost would have said, since he died, he lost his mind. We're going out and doing it anyways. What if they would have went out without power? They would have been absolutely abused and used by the world the way most Christians are. But see, they were filled with power. And we see Peter, who went from a little weasel in the courtyard to a little girl asking him before Jesus was killed, do you know this man? And Peter said, not me. He was with him for 3.5 years. And he's saying, not me. To when Peter gets filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2, and speaks in tongues, to going out and being willing to be put in prison, to being willing to be put to death. Why? He's filled with power now, and he's changing the world. And I can't stress, I feel like sometimes when I preach, it hits a brick wall and comes back and smacks me right in the face. If I can stress to you how important this is for your life, if I could just come over to you and clink all your heads together and say, wake up. And I don't mean nobody's sleeping here. I don't mean it physically. I mean spiritually, wake up. You need to get, this is important for your life. You want finances to change? This is important. You want health? You want direction for your life? You want to know all that God has for you? This is where it's at. And sometimes we sit here so flippant of, well, boy, I sure hope he hurries. Oh my gosh, I'd like that faith and shout and stuff. Oh, is he done yet? And we have no stinking idea what this is going to do for you. This is something that Jesus Christ himself said, don't you leave till you get this. And so that's why I'm preaching this, so you to get it. Hallelujah. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse, let's see, I'm going to try to save time here. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. This is a story when Paul, who was Saul, was on the road to Damascus. Remember, he was killing Christians. Do you know that? Let me just say that to help you. I don't care what your past is. God can turn it around and take you to a better place. Do you know that the writer of 2/3 of this Bible used to murder people that were like you? He was a murderer of Christians before he got saved. And God used him to be the greatest there ever was. Whew. It don't matter what your past is. Stop believing the devil. Stop believing the devil that, oh, I've wasted so many years. Stop it. The rest of your days can be the best you've ever experienced. Amen. But anyways, this was when that murderer was on the road to Damascus persecuting Christians. Jesus, read the story on your own time. Jesus appeared to him as a being of light. Remember, Paul lost his vision? He wasn't Paul yet. He was Saul. In verse 6, and he trembling and astonished. I think I'd tremble and be astonished too if I was on the road and all of a sudden a blinding light came up and knocked me to the ground. Trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told of you what to do. Now every biblical scholar on the face of planet Earth, whether they believe in the Holy Ghost, whether they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, every single one of them agrees in verse 6, it's Paul's salvation. This is when Saul became a born-again Christian. How do we know? He says, Lord, what will you have me to do? At that moment, he looked at Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Every biblical scholar that I have ever read and have heard about will all agree that this is the salvation. This is Paul's January 10th, 2002 moment, where he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So now he's born again, right? He's saved. He's a Christian. If he dies that day, he's going to heaven. But here's what I want you to see. Drop down now to verse, let's drop down to verse 10. So Paul's told to go in the city, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And in a vision, the Lord said to him, Ananias, and he said, Lord, I'm here. So the Lord appears to this guy named Ananias in a vision. The Lord said to him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, who eventually is named Paul, for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he's praying there. Remember, he's on the road, he gets saved, and the Lord says, go wait. Well, Paul's there waiting. And he says in verse 12, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So the Lord also gave a vision to Paul that this guy named Ananias is going to come, lay his hands on him, and Paul's going to be able to see again. Now, Ananias says in verse 13, Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard many of this man. How much evil. I would say murdering Christians is evil. The Bible says he used to drag them out of their house, women and children, the mom and dads taken away from the children, throwing them into prison. He stood by while Stephen, one of the people doing the Lord's work, were stoned. He stood by and consented, said, yes, kill them. Held the coats of the people that were stoning him. And the Bible says, I've heard how much evil he's done to the saints at Jerusalem. Ananias saying, Lord, I don't want to go see him. I know what he does to people like me. But see, he didn't know he got saved. And how he has, verse 14, the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, are you ready for this? Born again. Do we all agree that Saul is born again? He said, Lord. We see him that he's in the house praying. The Lord's given him a vision. Verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, another absolute indicator that he's now Christian. The term of endearment of brother, because when you get born again, you're in the family of God. He didn't just call him Saul. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way that you came, has appeared to me and sent me that you might receive your sight. And what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. A Christian who needed something more. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Okay. Now we're getting ready to close. Are you ready for me to rest my case? Are you ready for this? You're all probably thinking of a bunch of lawyer jokes right now. Acts chapter 8. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put the challenge out to everybody here today. If you love Jesus, which the Bible says, do you know there's an absolute way to show him if you love him? People say, oh, I love you, Lord. And they're treating their spouse like crap. Can I say that word in church? I just did. It just got broadcast all over the world. I think there's probably worse ones I could have said. And they're treating their spouse terribly. They're being sneaky at work. They're watching things they shouldn't. They're doing things with their body they shouldn't. They're saying, I love you, Jesus. Well, the Bible says, he that loves me will keep my commandments. That's what the Lord said. If you love Jesus, you'll keep the commandment that he told the disciples. Don't leave until you get this. Come back and, now obviously you can't receive something until you're taught about it. If you love the Lord, you'll be back hungry to hear these messages. You'll be back to want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say it. People that just flippantly blow it off, I'll tell you what, they're not hungry. They don't want to receive what God has for them. God wants to take you from here to here. From no power to power, glory to God. Acts chapter 8, at verse 12. Now, are you ready? I know, I'm building it up here. But I'll just say this. I don't understand preachers and people in the body of Christ that speak against the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the ones that say, we've received all the Holy Ghost we've ever going to need. It makes me say, do you know how to read your Bible? Because the Bible makes, the scriptures we looked at already, I could rest my case on those. But this scripture here, I wonder, have they ever read Acts chapter 8 in verse 8 through 12? Or in verse 12 here. Have they ever read it? It says, I'm going to come over here because I like it over here. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, you're going to see in the next verse that the Bible tells us they're born again, but we know by that verse there that when you believe the things the preacher is saying concerning the kingdom of God and when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, would you say it's safe to say that these people are born again Christians? Absolutely. There's not even a question about it. They believe, what was Philip preaching? He was obviously, if somebody got saved, he was preaching salvation to them. What was he saying? He was saying, Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross for you. He rose again. If you just accept the Lord, you'll get saved. He preached that. The Bible says they believed that Philip was preaching concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, both men and women. This is the point where these people became believers. Verse 14, now notice this. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria, these Samaritan believers, had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So if you look over in 1 Peter, I believe it is, the Bible says that we receive salvation when we receive the word or we receive Jesus. They were believers. Now the apostles get word of this. They hear it through the grapevine that Samaria, these people down in Samaria, they're not believers. They're not like one of us. They're now in the family of God. Look at verse 15. Who, when they came down They prayed for them. The apostles now praying for these people that received Jesus. You say, I know, I feel like I try to make it so like I'm teaching to like a second grader because that's how I understand things. And so if I'm going slow and very methodical, it's because I want you to get it. That's how bad I want you to get it. You know, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost or not, then do anything different for my life. It's not going to change my life. I'm going to walk in victory regardless if you do or not. So I'm being slow and careful about this because I want you to get it that bad. I don't have an agenda. We don't put on the outside of the building the number of people that speak in tongues in our church. This is all for you here. Praise God. He said, when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, that's part of the smoking gun. But notice, he came to believers and wanted to pray for them that they would receive something else. Telling me they didn't receive all the Holy Ghost when Philip preached to them and the Bible says they got saved. They still needed something more. Do you see it there? Does everybody see that there? Am I twisting the scriptures here?
No.
Or is that what it says?
That's what it says.
Glory to God. Sometimes I feel like I'm screaming and my head's going to fall off. Who, when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Here we go. Are you ready, jury? Are you ready, judge? Verse 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Now here is the next word. Only. Everybody say only.
Only.
Only. That means only one thing happened. And it tells us what it was. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That portion of Scripture, if it's not so clear to people that there is two separate experiences, that here these were believers, they came down to pray that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for he had not fallen on any of them. Why? You don't get it at salvation. When I was in that hunting cabin, I didn't get all the Holy Ghost. Now he came and indwelled in me, but he had not come upon me yet. He had not baptized me yet in the Holy Ghost. Only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. What's he saying? They only got this. Now, he's not belittling salvation. He's not saying, they're only saved. Salvation trumps this. But he's pointing out, he's saying, they only got the salvation. They need something else. Amen?
Amen.
Do you see that there?
Yes, sir.
Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them. And they, the believers who heard what Philip preached, they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't ever let the devil or any other Christian or anybody that thinks they're smart. I say, if you don't do the word, you're an idiot. If you go against the Bible, you're dumb. You're called a fool. Don't let anybody try to tell you that baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's not for you. Don't let anybody try to tell you that, oh, you got all that you needed at salvation. Well, it's too bad Jesus didn't know that. It's too bad Paul didn't know that. It's too bad the apostles didn't know that. Who would go to believers who, when they found out they got saved, the first thing they wanted to do was get them filled with the Holy Ghost. They needed more. Don't let anybody lie to you. And next week, we're going to see something so marvelous. We're going to see that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the thing that goes with it is speaking in tongues. That the Bible is just as clear as we saw two separate experiences, that you cannot say you're baptized with the Holy Ghost if you don't speak in tongues. The Bible doesn't allow you to say that. The Bible doesn't allow you, if you want to be biblical, to take that point. And we're going to see next week that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence or the initial thing that happens is praying in tongues. And we're going to see that. And we're going to look at what tongues are next week. And we're going to take the whole scary, ooey-gooey, very spooky thing off tongues. And then the week after that, we're going to look at the benefit of tongues. And you're going to see, holy cow, I need to be praying in tongues, and I need to be praying a lot in tongues because I'm missing out all these things. So I'll tell you what, the next 2 weeks are going to be humdingers. Don't miss them for your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word today. Lord, I'm passionate about this stuff because I know what it's done for me. Father, I know that it's changed my life. I know that it's absolutely led me into things I never would have walked into. And Lord, I just wanted it because you commanded it. Because you told us, don't leave home without this. So Father, that's the reason that I'm so passionate for it. Father, I just love people. Father, I'm only in this because I love people. There's so many other jobs that would be less stressful, would be less time consuming. But Father, I just love people so much. and I want them to get it. So, Father, I pray that you'd encourage them today. I pray that you'd open the eyes of their understanding. Father, I pray that the Holy Ghost would instruct them and guide them on this subject. And I pray, Lord, that the weak would not get them down, that it would cause them to not come back, that they'd come back ready to walk into everything that you have for them. Father, I just thank you for them. I praise your holy name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please nobody looking around. The greatest gift, yeah, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is awesome, and there's some great benefits, but the greatest gift that you can ever receive is to be saved and to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everybody here, ask yourself this question under your breath. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? You know, when I ask myself that, the answer is a resounding yes. I mean, it's like cap locks with about 1,000 exclamation marks after it. I know I'm going to heaven. If you don't have that same knowledge, that same understanding, you can walk out of here with it. The Bible says if you receive Jesus, you have eternal life. There's no question about it. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you did 5 minutes before you came in the service today. If you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you're going to heaven and know that you have that assurance that when this life is over, you're going to go to heaven and be with Him for the rest of your life. If you want to receive Jesus, would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody that wants to receive the Lord here this morning? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Him? If we're not embarrassing people, just put your hand up and you put it right back down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Father, I don't see any hands, other hands. But Lord, I thank you for the one that we had. And Father, I don't know everybody that's listening to this by live stream or that may listen to this. So if you're listening to this or if you're here and you raised your hand or if you're here and you didn't raise your hand and you know you should have, we're going to go ahead and pray a prayer asking the Lord to come into our life. And I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me, but I'm going to ask that you don't just repeat it, but that you say it and you mean it with all your heart. Everybody here, let's pray this prayer together. And if you raised your hand or if you should have, or if you're listening and you know you want to jump in on this, pray this with us. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, your life's never going to be the same. Stay with us, man. We're teaching some good things here to get you in a better place with God. Of course, Wednesday night, 6:30. Do your best to be here, man. We're seeking God for a message to be a blessing to you. Wednesday night, 6:30. You won't regret it. We'll see you all then. And then next Sunday at 10, you're dismissed.